happy Wednesday morning. Thanks for tuning in to Morning Drive. Bob Heck here with you on this. Looks like it's going to be a warm Wednesday, but we're pre-recording this, so I'm not going to play with the forecast. And, yeah, that's just the way it's going to be. You want to know what the weather's going to be? Google it. That's all I can tell you. We're here with Matt Torre this morning from the Western New England Horsemen's Association and Over the Moon Farm. Matt, what's going on, man?
Hey, doing pretty good, Bob. How about yourself?
I'd be doing a lot better if I turned your mic on. There we go. All right, we're good to go. So talk to me about the Western New England Horsemen's Association. What is that, and how would people like find out about it or become a part of it?
Yeah, I got into horses shortly after COVID, about late fall of 2020, and really started to learn about it more from my wife Sarah there, who runs Over the Moon Farm, and the WNEPHA, the Western New England Professional Horsemen Association. It's an awesome league for individuals interested in doing English riding, hunters, jumpers. It's a fun area, fun thing to get involved in for kids that are looking to spend time with horses.
Now, how did you get involved with it? Because you said you got into it around 2020. Do you actually ride, or are you just more like off to the side, or?
Yeah, no, I was looking for something for both my daughters to do when we were coming back from COVID, and there wasn't a lot of things that were open. Team sports hadn't opened up yet, and so I looked at horseback riding was one of the few sports that people were allowed to do because it was able to, social distance and everything. So I had gone over to Sarah Hogue at the Times Farm. She was at Berkshire Equestrian Center on Route 41 there in Richmond, and started taking lessons. And shortly after that, she purchased her own facility out in Canaan, New York, and that's where we are today.
So now you're not doing horse racing or anything along those lines. This is a completely different, for lack of a better term, it's a different animal than horse racing. What exactly is, like, I started watching this documentary last night where there's like Murder at Hawthorne Hall or something like that, and like I was introduced to dressage, and I'm like, what is this all about? So that's how I prepared for this interview, Matt. I watched a little bit of that.
it was definitely something I needed to learn as well. And it's English riding. There's hunters, jumpers, equestrian type setup where you're being judged on the rider's form, you're being judged on the horse's form. It could be anything from a class where it's just walk trot. They offer if you're a WNEPHA rated show, you have to offer jumping classes, some flat classes. It goes right from lead line where you could be 2 years old and on a horse and somebody's holding a rope and leading the horse around, to jump in 3 feet. So there's a wide variation of what the chapter offers, and it's a great opportunity for anybody who's looking to just get started or who has been doing it their whole life.
And a lot of kids are involved. I happen to DJ the banquet every year, and it's cool to see all the kids get together, and it's like there's competition, but they all seem to like love each other too. And
yeah, there's definitely competition, which is, that's nice to see, but everybody is very supportive of each other. They have a great time. There's a number of different barns. Us at, Over the Moon, we are one of them. There's a couple others in Berkshire County as well, and it goes all the way over to Amherst. There's White Horse Hill that's on Swamp Road in Richmond. You also have Bonnie Lee Farm up in Williamstown, Stillwater Farm, over in Connecticut, in New York, along with few in Amherst and Southampton as well. Grindstone Mountain is just off a Westfield exit, and then you have Muddy Brook Stables, which is right in Amherst. And I'm sure I'm missing a couple, just trying to go off a top of my head.
Certainly.
But there's a ton of farms out there. There's not as many as there used to be, from what I've been told, but It's still it's a great atmosphere, and it teaches the kids and adults who are involved in it so much to what it's like to take care of horses, what it's like to be responsible, and it's more than just jump on the horse for 20 minutes, ride around, jump a few courses. It's getting the horse ready, taking care of it, prepping it, cleaning its tack, cleaning the hoofs. Everything, and then cooling the horse down, making sure it has the right blanket on, making sure the horse has hay, has water. So it definitely teaches a lot of responsibility for the kids.
So largely the kids are in charge of taking care of the horse pretty much from the jump.
Yeah, you want to, Sarah and all the other trainers that are out there running programs, they'll start if you're new and you've never been around horses. We'll walk you through the process. You'll take your time. Kind of get a feel for it. The trainer will kind of prep the horse for you the first few times. And then as you start getting more comfortable, you start learning how to do it. Then you'll progress to doing it on your own. And then, it depends on how far you want to take it from there.
And that's going to be really difficult with a horse. I mean, you play baseball, you practice, throwing to a catcher. And you play hockey, you take shots and things along those lines. Now you're working, instead of with a hockey stick or a baseball, you're working with a live animal that, you can't really communicate with in a traditional sense, but I'm sure there's ways of communicating with the animal. But like, how does that all work? Because I would imagine that's significantly more complicated than, your other individual sports or even your team sports.
Yeah, it definitely presents a challenge for sure. You can prep as much as possible, and if the horse doesn't feel it that day, mm-hmm. or outside, they could get distracted, they could get spooked by something. A tree waving is just not gonna be there. They're not gonna like it that day. So you gotta really be understanding too that you're not just doing it yourself. You're working with a live animal, mm-hmm. and that it might not be their best day. And then also, when you have a good lesson horse, if you're not having your best day, they'll also pick you up and just be like, hey, stay with me. We're going to go. But I know one of the things Sarah does at our farm is really try to get the kids to ride all different horses. It really helps the riders develop, helps them get a better feel for what they're supposed to be doing, and just really get comfortable on a horse. Each horse is different, and you're going to have some that you just get on and they go, and there's some that you got to, kind of give a little leg to and get them to move, and then once they go, they're great. So, each one is different, and that's where Sarah knows her horses and all the other trainers. Amy down at Harmony Hill in Great Barrington, same thing. She's one of the barns I didn't mention before, but she is great with like working with little kids and talking to them and getting them to understand all of the, different ways horses can behave and act and everything. And also making sure that it's a safe environment for everybody.
I didn't even think of that, like in this context that, just like we all have different personalities, the horses all have different personalities. I mean, is there an instance where you bring like a couple of horses to an event and sort of decide on the fly which horse would make sense for what competition? Or
yeah, we have so we have in our program, we have 18 lesson horses, and they're all at different stages in their life. Some mm-hmm. are younger, some are older, and so we base Sarah will base which rider rides which horse based off their ability level and what they're going to be jumping. So we have like my youngest daughter Mia, she's jumping at the 2-foot 6-inch level right now. All right, so we paired her with a horse that can do that. You're not going to be a baby horse that hasn't really learned the job yet. Mm-hmm. But you're also not going to put her on an older horse that's kind of getting towards the end of their career. You want to kind of meet them in the middle, so you find that one that knows what they're doing. My daughter's still not novice, but she's still at the beginner stage of riding. Right, she's only been riding 4 or 5 years, so she. You want to make sure you're pairing her on a horse that is safe. She also has a new horse that she just started training this winter, Ty, who is a beginner horse. And there's a division in our chapter called Baby Greens where it's in the first 2 years of the horse jumping. So there's a little more leeway with that, as far as when you're being judged, you don't get, they don't criticize you as much because they know that this is a beginner horse, mm-hmm. and you're getting it through. So it really is on the responsibility of the trainers to really pair riders and horses together and make sure you're putting both the horse and the rider in the best possible opportunity to be successful.
Well, let's do the elephant in the room here. This all sounds really expensive. Is this an affordable activity for families with kids that want to get involved with it, or is it super expensive? Like, how does that whole thing work?
Yeah, every barn is different. Mm-hmm. You know, is what their pricing is and everything. It really depends on what you're thinking. It is affordable if you're like, hey, I want my kid to take one lesson a week, or, you know, one lesson every other week, just to introduce them to horses,
sure.
just to have a little joy, you know, joyride here or there, or, you know, beginner lessons, stuff like that. I would say in the PHA, and lessons range anywhere from $60 to $100 for a 30-minute lesson. We're right in on the $60 range for a 30-minute lesson. So that's, you know, getting to the barn. You're going to get to groom the horse, get to help tack it up, get it ready, and then have your 30-minute lesson and then put the horse away afterwards. As you develop and you get into more, you know, are you going to lesson 2-3 times a week? Are you going to start doing shows? You know, so the more involved you want to get, the pricier it does get.
All right, but it sounds like not completely unreasonable. I mean, especially in a sense where you could do the one lesson a week for a little while and make sure, you know, your child is actually going to be into it, because there's nothing worse than like hockey. You invest in all that equipment, and then after two or three practices, the kid's like, yeah, sucks, I don't want to do it anymore. So, like, this seems like a good way to test things out and make sure the kid really wants to be into it.
Yeah, that is you kind of hit it right on the head there. That's one of those, you know, hey, are you interested? Yep. You bring them out, get them used to it, you know, take a couple of lessons. Yeah, I really do like it. Okay, let's set up a weekly lesson. You go buy your own helmet. You know, helmets will last you the whole year. You know, it's kind of based off of how fast the kid grows.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick up online just some beginner riding boots, beginner pants, stuff like that, that aren't very expensive. No different than if you were going to pick up a pair of basketball shoes or, you know, cleats or something for other sports. So it is doable to get into that beginner aspect of horseback riding. As you progress into, you know, wanting to do shows and stuff like that, it does get pricier.
Right. And, you know, everything's pricey at this point if you're all in on it. I mean, if you're in baseball and you're playing a tournament every weekend out of town, I mean, that's going to get pricey anyways. We're here with Matt Tora from the Western New England Horsemen's Association and Over the Moon Farm. And it's not just for kids, though. I mean, obviously the kids are just starting out, but you have adults involved in this as well, right?
Yeah, we have kids, adults, all ages, pretty much, you know, 2-3 years old, depending on the farm. You know, mm-hmm. at Over the Moon Farm, we look at like 4 and up. But it can go as long as you're able to get on the horse and ride, you can ride. And that goes not only for our farm, but for the PHA as well, the Western New England chapter. We have some riders in there that are still showing well into their 60s and even 70s. So it's definitely something for all ages and all ability levels.
And, you know, everyone's sort of matched up by ability, so it's not like you're going out there as a beginner and you're getting smoked by, you know, someone that's been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, I they have all different divisions, and it kind of goes with what you feel. You know, you go from lead line to walk, trot, and beginner equitation, which is really you're just getting on the horse, you're walking, you're trotting a little bit, maybe a little bit of cantering, and then as you get more comfortable, you progress into other divisions. We have a pleasures division, which is a little more competitive, but that can be all age levels. But you're doing more walk, trot, canter each way. There's no jumping. There's a lot of people who would prefer not to jump. And then we do get into different levels of jumping, anywhere 18-inch, 2-foot, 2-foot 3, 2-foot 6, 2'9" and 3'. So there's all different heights. And just because at one stage of your life you were jumping 3 foot and now you're an adult and you have a family and you want to be a little safer, yeah. you can come back down to 2 foot again because you haven't done it for the last 10 years. So there's definitely a level or an ability for everybody to partake in our chapter.
Now, I had a train of thought and then I lost it. You say lead, line, and walk, trot. What exactly is that?
So lead line is really for little kids who've never shown, barely taken lessons. They're going to get put on the horse, and the horse is still going to have a lead rope attached to him, where a person will walk and trot the horse around while still holding on to that rope, so that the kid's really safe. Walk trot is the next step where the kid will pretty much do the same thing, but there's no more lead rope. They'll guide the horse themselves. Still a beginner division, so you're just still learning how to, you know, steer the horse, go both ways. And it's perfect for the younger kids that are just getting a feel for it. And wanting to get into that competitive aspect of it, but you're not jumping yet. They're not ready to kind of leave the ground.
And that's the next step after that, the jumping. And the equestrian, or how do I say it? The
equestrian.
That's when you're going around and there's several jumps on the course.
Yeah, so there's, for our chapter, there's the equestrian jumping, there's hunters, and then and there's a little bit of difference. And with the equestrian, you're really judging the rider's ability, really viewing how their posture is. How do they handle themselves on top of the horse? Are they doing everything they're supposed to? And then when you're in the hunter divisions, that's really focusing more on the horse and everything that they do.
And what is the hunter division? Is it?
Same thing. You're jumping as well. It's just more focused on the horse and how the stride is and how they behave and how they look.
And if people want more information about the Western New England Horsemen's Association and how to find a farm and how to get involved, where can they go?
Yeah, so the WNEPHA has a website. It's WNEPHA.com. So they can visit that. There is some information on there. And then our farm is Over the Moon Farm in Canaan, New York. We have our website is otmfarmny.com.
And, you know, like anything else, you'll find a farm. Some farms might be better fit for your family than others.
Yeah, a lot depends on location. Where, you know, what are you looking for? You know, everybody does stuff a little bit different, but there's definitely enough out there. There's not as many farms as there used to be 10, 15 years ago, but there is there's definitely something out there for everyone.
And, you know, how does the competition season work?
So competition, we run December 1st to November 30th.
Oh, wow.
It's a year-round season. Not too many shows happen in the winter. It's more... there are a few. We have a couple ourselves. It's harder for other barns to get to you in the winter weather. It's not as safe to pull the trailers out and everything. Mm-hmm. But it is available. White Horse Hills, another one that usually holds some winter shows as well. But the big kickoff is usually at the beginning of May. And we go May to the end of September. There's almost a show every Sunday.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. So there'll be a show every Sunday. They're all listed on our website, where the shows are. So even if you're just interested, in just kind of seeing what a horse show's like and you don't even ride, check out the website. There's a full calendar on there. It tells you where the meets are, where the shows are and where you can go to see them.
Yeah. So it's sort of like a tour. You're going to different places each Sunday.
Yeah, so there's a number, I want to say there's 7 or 8 barns that host shows. Mm-hmm. We host, I think, 7 or 8 a year at our place. White Horse Hill does the same. Harmony Hill and Great Barrington host 4 or 5. Grindstone hosts 1. Muddy Brook holds 1. Bonnie Lee holds 1. So there's definitely shows all over. Three County Fairgrounds in Northampton is also holding a few this year. And then we have our finals at the end of the year. I believe it's the first Saturday in October. Our finals will be at the Northampton Fairgrounds as well.
Okay, so yeah, that's where the finals are, and so everyone just kind of goes all over. And how, I mean, and people just put the horse in the trailer, and they just sort of off they go.
Yeah. So the WNEPHA is more of a day ship kind of horse show where you might go to Saugerties or Saratoga, or you're going to go up to Vermont where they have week-long shows. They do have some day shows as well, but those shows you're going to go bring the horse. You're going to get temporary stalls set up where the WNEPHA is you show up in the morning, you bring however many horses you need, you kind of live out of your trailer in a field for the day and get your horses ready there, and then you head back home at the end of the day.
What's your favorite part about being involved with this?
It's you know, there's a lot, it's a lot similar to, for me, growing up in baseball and playing professionally and everything, just seeing the work that these riders are putting in. The, you know, how much, I think about when I pitched and how much I had to work to just change a little bit with my pitching. And that's how much these riders are doing every single day when they're taking lessons, when they want to elevate their riding. You know, you have riders who come out and are just doing it for fun and they want to learn a little bit. But then you have the ones that are really trying to, you know, fix maybe the foot's not in the right place, or they're not sitting up enough, or, you know, an arms out, just, you know, the little bit can affect how you're judged when you're showing. And so the work that these riders are putting in, it really is amazing to see the dedication from them. And it's fun to be part of it. It's fun to kind of do something similar as far as work ethic in baseball, but in a different area, and to be part of it with my wife and daughters.
And how difficult is it to, you know, for these shows to find judges? I mean, I had to find judges for a pizza contest, and you don't really need much expertise to eat a slice of pizza and say whether you like it or not. I would imagine you need a level of expertise to, you know, be a judge in events like these.
Yeah, there is. There are specifications that you need in order to judge the PHA shows. And then if you offer other things at your show, whether it's mass medal, mass final, you know, to qualify for mass or New England or New Hampshire, the judge needs to have other prerequisites as well in order to be able to do it. And then, but it is, it can be challenging at times. There's only a limited number of judges out there that traveled to this area. Most of the time, everybody is able to find judges, but it does get tricky once in a while.
We're here with Matt Tora from the Western New England Horsemen's Association and Over the Moon Farm. We're talking about horses and, you know, kids getting into horses and things like that. And we'll have more on the other side of the break here on WTBR 89.7.
For more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio. 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield. 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available. All free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Hi, I'm Leslie Hertzberg, Executive Director of the Berkshire County Historical Society. Spring through fall, we look forward to welcoming you for tours of Herman Melville's historic home, Arrowhead. We offer a wide variety of in-person and virtual programs throughout the year. Visit BerkshireHistory.org for information on programs and to schedule a tour.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions. Every Sunday night at 10 p.m., something strange happens to the airwaves of WTBR-FM. It's called The Mix. It is an experience like no other on this part of the planet. Witness a collection of fresh and classic beats that are guaranteed to make you move. The best part is, it is mixed completely live, uncut, unedited. So, for an exciting end to the weekend, tune your radio to WTBR-FM Sunday nights from 10 to midnight for The Mix.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR.
And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back here on Morning Drive on a Wednesday morning. Bob Heck here with you. Thanks for tuning in. And we have Matt Tora from the Western New England Horsemen's Association and Over the Moon Farm talking about horses, not horse racing, but, you know, the different type, the, what was it, the English style? So if, you know, I'm listening to this interview and I have kids and, you know, I'm intrigued by what I'm hearing, like, where do I start?
Yeah, you know, obviously, we'd love to have everybody just come to Over the Moon Farm, but there's a lot of great farms out there. If you are interested, check out our website, otmfarmny.com. There is information right there. You can fill out requests. It goes right to my wife, Sarah, who runs the program. She's been doing it. She's been teaching lessons for over 31 years. So she's been doing it for a while. She knows what she's doing. But then all the other farms based off where you're located, all have great instructors as well. You know, there's all the way out to Amherst for our chapter of the PHA. So really just, if you Google search, you know, English riding, you'll get something in your area. There's a few farms a little farther west in Ghent, New York, and even farther. Also, Bonnie Lee Farm in Williamstown. Everybody pretty much has a website or a Facebook page, so if you can just Google in your area. And then look at the WNEPHA.com website. It lists, you know, kind of some information there for people who are interested as well.
And then, you know, you kind of get to go on a tour of the place and sort of see what's happening and get an idea of how it's going to go down, because, you know, like I said earlier, I don't know anything about this. So, you know, if I wanted to learn more for my kid, who my kids don't have the time for it, but they're busy and other. But I'm just hypothetically speaking, you know, somebody knows nothing about it and thinks, oh, maybe horses is something to try to get my kid off the damn cell phone all the time.
It really, it's reach out to a barn, reach out to us at Over the Moon, and come see the facility. Talk to the professionals that are there. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, I work with my wife who owns Over the Moon, but I'm not the horse professional.
Right.
You know, I've jumped into this over the last 5 years, and I've tried to learn as much as I can every day about the sport and everything, but I can help keep the facility going. But when it comes down to the actual teaching or the horse knowledge, the professionals at each barn are the ones you want to talk to. They can guide you in the right direction based off of what you're looking for. And a lot of the farms, not all of them, but a lot of the farms have all different things available. Anything from camps, horsemanship programs, adult camps on occasion. There's a little bit of everything for everybody. Maybe you're just interested in horses alone, but you're not really sure if you want to ride. Just get in on the horsemanship side of it. Spend some time with them, groom them, you know, take them for a walk, kind of that kind of stuff.
So, I mean, are you essentially saying, like, back in 2020, and you said you got into this because there was nothing else to do towards the tail end of the pandemic where sports weren't starting or anything along those lines. Were you sort of walking into this blind as well, not knowing anything about it?
Correct.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yep. So, you know, I had gotten on a horse maybe two or three times in my life. Really didn't know much about him other than that. My uncle had a couple of horses in Montana. I rode them. I got on a horse once here. But other than that, I really was just looking for something to do with my daughters on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got involved with horses.
And, you know, how did that all start? You made a phone call or went to a website? Or, like, did your daughter say, I'm interested in horses? Or were you just kind of trying to figure out something for them to do?
Yeah, it was just my idea. I was just trying to find something for us to do. The summer had ended, so we really couldn't go to the lake anymore. Couldn't get outside and swim. There wasn't a lot to do. So we went and I knew somebody who had a horse with Sarah at the time, had their own horse. And they're like, yeah, Sarah Hogue does lessons. You should go call her. And so I had messaged her. And that I just started with doing like a joint riding lesson for both my daughters every other Saturday for a while. And that's how it all started.
And they decided to go deeper into it and get into competitions. And you sort of went from dad looking for something to do, and now you're, you know, on the board, the points stat keeper for the Western New England Horsemen's Association?
Yeah. My oldest one, you know, she rode for about a year and then decided, you know, she didn't want to do it anymore. Okay. She still loves horses. She sure. loves animals. But she just didn't want to get on anymore, which is totally fine. But my youngest one does compete. And she tries to get on a horse as often as she can. She really does love it. And my wife, who, you know, has been involved with the PHA since she was a kid, her parents had introduced her to it. I believe her mom had a horse when she was younger as well. So my Sarah's family, they've always been around horses.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, she's always been on the PHA board. As a professional, you're on the board. They needed somebody to handle the secretary position, and I thought it was a great way for me to offer up my help. You didn't have to exactly know horses. You just had to understand what the divisions were and how the point system works and everything. And as long as you can use an Excel spreadsheet and log into a website, kind of keep a calendar, I was able to help them. So that's what I enjoy, being able to kind of be involved and kind of use my strengths of the business side to keep that going.
So with your youngest, what kind of a time commitment is it for the family to, you know, do every Sunday or every other Sunday? I mean,
yeah, it's horse showing. If you want to get past like just taking that lesson every Saturday or every other Saturday, horse showing in itself is a big commitment. You're getting the horse ready the day before. So if there's a horse show on a Sunday, you're out at the barn, whether you have a lesson or not, and you're giving the horse a bath, you're cleaning the tack, you're prepping the trailer, make sure, does the horse have hay? Does the horse have water? So you're spending a couple hours at the barn on a Saturday, and then it's pretty much a full day commitment at a horse show on Sunday. So you're going to be at the barn at 6, 7 in the morning, getting the horse ready. You load up the horse, and you go to the horse show, and you're there until everybody at your barn has shown for the day. So if there's, you know, a kid showing in one of the first divisions, an adult showing in one of the last, then you're there for the whole day. You're walking your horse. You're making sure it has water, making sure it has hay to eat and everything. And so you're there for the day. So there is a big time commitment once you get into the showing aspect of it. But there's a lot of enjoyment throughout the day as well. You know, you're getting to see your barn mates or other barns who kids that you know in high school or middle school or, you know, adults that you've grown up with. They're showing for other barns. So you get to kind of support them and cheer them on along the way as well. So there's a lot happening throughout the day. So although the days can be long, the days can be hot or rain and cold sometimes. it's definitely something that's fun to do, and everybody really enjoys the day.
Now, you were an outsider, and then you became part of the organization. How was that transition? Because I know, you know, in certain things, you know, all the families all know each other, and then this new family comes in, and it's hard to sort of transition in. But it seems you've transitioned just fine.
Yeah, I've really relied on Sarah to kind of teach me the way, and her daughter Caroline. They're, you know, they love horses. They love Sarah loves what she does, and so I've really tried to just learn from her on how this all works. I'm constantly figuring things out, learning, you know, even just watching how a horse moves and understanding the terminology. Every year I try to get a better understanding of it. So that's why when families are there watching their kids ride or spouse or sibling, whatever it is, they ask questions, I always send them off to Sarah.
Yeah, like, so.
let's ask the professional. I'm not the professional there. I'm just there to be supportive throughout the day and help any way I can.
And we're talking with Matt Torre, Western New England Horsemen's Association, and from Over the Moon Farm. And, you know, your youngest is into horses, and you sort of compared it to, you know, being a pitcher. And, you know, how was your experience? How cool is it to see her enjoying this as much as you enjoyed playing baseball?
I think that's the biggest part for me, really, just being able to watch her, like, when she has a successful day. I understand where she's coming from. You know, when you put so much time and energy into something and all this effort, and then it comes together, you know, and it's not always about the ribbons.
Right.
You know, yes, it's nice to win first place. It's nice to, you know, be rider of the year or horse of the year at the end of the year banquet and everything, but sometimes for some people, it's you're bringing a horse along. Maybe the horse came back from a small injury, or it's a new horse, and your goals are, you know, not based off of just, you know, getting first place. It's I want to have a successful course where I'm able to canter the whole course for the first time, or I'm able to get the right leads or the right diagonals, you know, so that you're doing everything correct. That's a success, and that's what that's really with the horsemanship side of it, what it's all about. It's you know, building that relationship with the horse, having fun days, having success, and really just enjoying yourself when you're on the horse.
And are all the places different as far as diameters and, you know, the makeup of the area where the performances are happening? And are there certain horses that thrive better in certain environments at different shows in different places?
Yeah, every facility is different.
Okay.
The size of it and everything. At our farm in Canaan, our indoor is 10,000 square feet. Our outdoor is 28,000 square feet.
Okay.
We have, when we built it, when Sarah moved out there, we put in special GGT footing, which is, you know, it's specifically made for jumping horses. Helps for their landing, put a special sand in there as well. We maintain it, drag it, water it, making sure that, you know, I compare that to like a baseball field too, because I, you know, when I, at the top of my game and you're playing on some of the nicest fields in the country, you know, you really want it to look as best as it can. So you kind of treat the rings the same way. You want to drag it. There's special drags for them, making sure they're watered so they're not dusty. There's a lot that goes into doing it, and every facility is different. Couple of them, Harmony Hill in Great Barrington, theirs is actually a grass field.
Okay.
So theirs is on grass. Amy, who operates out of there, she goes down to Florida and has a facility down in Florida that she's at during the winter. So she does it there, and then she comes up and she, you know, has her place here in the summer. And then White Horse Hill on Swamp Road, they have an indoor and an outdoor. And then same with other locations, Bonnie Lee Farm in Williamstown, Stillwater Farm in Ghent, they have indoors and outdoors as well.
And, you know, do certain horses, you know, oh, we're going to a grass course today, so maybe horse B is the better fit, mm-hmm. even though horse A has done a lot of the stuff on the dirt all season, is, you know.
Yeah, that's a big, you know, the trainers know who operates, and they've, in all the trainers in the WNEPHA, they've all been to everyone's location. So mm-hmm. they know their horse is the best. They know which one's going to, you know, have the best day at a horse show, whether it's somebody coming to our farm, somewhere, or we're going to another location. You know, you kind of know what horses will kind of pair up the best based off of where you're going.
And are they, like, do you train them differently coming up to an event on a grass course or?
The grass, no.
Or a different type of course.
Yeah,
I just
yeah.
use the grass because that sounds like it stands out.
Yeah, it is the only grass one in the chapter, but it's really, you know, the effort that you're going to put in when you're getting ready for finals. You know, you're making sure their manes look great. You're making sure mm-hmm. their tails look great. You know, the prep that goes into it, making sure they're tuned, just like riders might take extra lessons leading up to those big shows, or in any other sport, you know, you get into playoffs and you might take an extra 100 free throw shots, you know, just to make sure you're ready, you know. So as you get down the line towards the end of the season and you're about to go into finals or you're going to a bigger show, you do put a little more into the preparation side of it.
Oh, that's been, it's fascinating. And again, I knew nothing about horses coming in, and then I still know next to nothing, but yeah. I know a little more. But before we wrap up, we're with Matt Torr, Western New England Horsemen's Association. Somebody's listening, they want to get involved, both at getting their kid involved or maybe getting themselves involved if they're an adult.
Yeah, check out our website, otmfarmny.com. We have a lot of information on there. It's a brand new website that we're excited to just get up and running about a month ago. But there's a lot of different offerings on there. We have camps, both for kids and adults, horsemanship classes, programs that individuals could do. There's individual lessons. You can do private, semi-private. There's a lot of different opportunities. Come out and just see the farm. And to get an understanding of our chapter, the Western New England Professional Horsemen Association, they have a website as well, WNEPHA.com. Take a look. We're all anywhere from, you know, Eastern New York, where we are, and all the way over to Amherst. So we're kind of spread out around this area, mostly in Berkshire County, but our season runs 5 months long, pretty much, and it's a great opportunity for anybody looking to get involved with horses.
Matt, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It was a pleasure talking horses with you, and we'll have to have you again sometime later on in the season.
Sounds good.
All right, that's going to wrap us up today. Thanks for tuning in. Pete White is Sean Sayre's guest tomorrow, and I'll be back with you next week. Thanks for tuning in to Morning Drive here on WTBR.